While it just reminded me while I was praising and worshiping him that you minister to who's here. You can't minister to who's not. It's Father's Day, and many people are spread out today, and prayerfully they're honoring their fathers. Amen. And I started today, and I just want to say this again, because this is something that really the Lord has placed on my heart. Men, speaking of men a little bit, women had their turn when it was Mother's Day, to men, when we honor God, we can honor our earthly father. If we don't honor God, we truly will never know how to really honor our earthly father. Children, you'll never know how to honor your father right without honoring your heavenly father. Amen. Honor flows. As a matter of fact, he says it's a commandment for us to honor our mother and father. It's not a choice. It comes with a promise. Yeah. So their days may be long. I don't know about you, but if I didn't honor my dad, he might have ended my life. Amen? Not really. My dad was a good father, just like my father in heaven. He's a good father. But where I'm going today, you know, it's like... I was looking on the bulletin that Jackie put together. I guess I was going to look at it. Sure. Here we go. You know, it says, "Dads, thank you for all that you've done." But we want to have an attitude to thank him first. Because if it wasn't for our Father in heaven, we couldn't be thankful for what our dads have done on earth.
That's right.
Amen. And is this yours?
Hers.
Amen. Praise God. And so today, look with me. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going in a direction today, so bear with me. As I lay a foundation, this isn't a normal Father's Day message. It's a heavenly Father's Day message. Amen. Verse number 18. The Apostle Paul says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And when I was meditating on what to preach on today, the Lord was speaking to my heart about, in this world, we live in a world that's full of calamity. Jesus was a man who was acquainted with sorrow. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was a man of sorrow.
That's right.
So in this life, we're going to go through our good times and our bad times. You know, Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer, that he's overcome the world. And when I was looking at that, I was thinking about a farmer in seeds. And our text today is found in Psalms 126. So go there to Psalms 126. And I was thinking about a sower in his seed and how precious water is to a seed. Now, we're not going that way. We're not washing away the seed. We're germinated it. Hallelujah. In other words, he that sows weeping, the tears are the water to the seed, will no doubt come rejoicing.
Yeah.
Amen. And so look with me in Psalms 126. And it's kind of interesting as you look at this. It's got two sides to the psalm. The first three are for those that have already been brought out of captivity. And the second three are for those that are still in captivity. So there's two sides to this psalm. He says in verse 1, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now the ones that are in captivity, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The title of this morning's message is, He Has Done Great Things. And we're going to look at the three things out of this text today. There was a call for the children of Israel to return, to restore, and to rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the word. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration here today? Say, I believe.
This is the written word of God.
God wrote this word to me.
I am
what God's word says I am.
I can have
everything God's word says I can have.
I can be
who God says I can be.
Today,
I will hear God's word,
and
my life will be changed.
It will never
be the same.
Thank you, Jesus,
for choosing me
in Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Father, we're so grateful for your word.
We're grateful that
you sent your word to
accomplish what
you sent it here
in this house to
do.
Father,
I pray that as
your word goes forth,
that it ministers
to every heart
and every
life of everyone
that's gathered here.
And
not only those that are
gathered here, but
as it goes out in
the web, it goes
out into the world,
may
it accomplish what
you sent it there to
do also.
And
when all is said and done,
all glory, honor,
and praise will be
unto the King of Kings
and the Lord of Lords.
Father,
I thank you, Lord,
for the
opportunity
to share
your word
with your
children.
And I'll never
cease to
give you all the glory,
all
the honor,
and all the
praise
in Jesus'
name.
Amen.
So
as we're looking at this
Psalms today,
and
the first one I have is
to return.
The reason
that Israel
was in
captivity
was because of
their disobedience
to God.
Okay?
Amen.
So look
with me
this morning
to
Jeremiah
chapter 3.
Verse number
21.
The prophet
that known as
Jeremiah was
recognized as
the weeping prophet.
He
was making lamentations
to the Lord
in behalf
of the people.
And
the word of God says
in verse 21,
a voice was
heard upon the high
places,
weeping and
supplications
of the children of
Israel,
for they had
perverted their way
and
had forgotten the
Lord their God.
Return,
ye
backsliding
children,
and
I will heal
your
backslidings.
Behold,
we come
unto thee, for
thou art
the Lord
our God.
Truly
in vain is
salvation hoped
for from the
hills and
from the multitude of
the mountains.
Truly in
the Lord our
God is the
salvation of Israel.
For
shame have
devoured the
labor of our
fathers from
our youth,
their
flocks and their
herds, their sons
and their daughters.
We lie down
in our shame,
and our
confusion
covereth us up.
For
we have sinned against
the Lord our God,
we and our
fathers, from our
youth even unto
this day.
We have
not
obeyed
the voice
of the
Lord our
God.
In other words,
he's calling
them
to return
to him.
He
allowed them to go
into captivity,
but
he isn't going to leave
them there.
Amen.
Amen.
Look with me in
Acts chapter 3.
Acts chapter
3,
verse number
19.
To
return to the Lord
means I repent.
I
change my mind.
I don't only
change my mind,
but as I change
my mind, I
change my direction.
Amen?
But one
of the things the Lord was
speaking to me here, he says,
Repent ye therefore, verse 19, and be converted. To be converted, the Greek word for converted comes from the Greek word epistrepho. And epistrepho means to restore to the original. In other words, I have a friend. His name is Rabbits. His name is David Flemings, and he lives in Newmarket. And what David Fleming does is he takes and restores and he converts Mustangs, old Mustangs. And he'll break them down all the way to the frame and rebuild them again like new. And give them a total restoration. And that's what God does when we repent. We are converted. Amen. But he says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Amen. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing for most of us is when we gather together in the house of God and we're all worshiping and praising the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his presence fills the atmosphere, and he's come to restore and to refresh the lost soul.
Amen.
Amen. He comes in that time of refreshing to convert us. The epistrepho to bring us back. You know, what he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Amen? Amen? You know, what's wrong with saying we're wrong? Anybody have a problem saying I'm wrong? I'm wrong enough so I don't have any problem saying I'm wrong. Hello? I love the words of the prophet Hosea. In Hosea chapter 10, well, you might say, well, Pastor, you used that scripture last week. I used it last year and the year before that, and 100 times before that, and probably 1,000 times before that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When the word speaks, it speaks. And the prophet said this. He said, sow to yourselves in righteousness in verse 12. Hosea 10, 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou did not trust in the way, thy way, and the multitude, because thou did trust in thy way and the multitude of mighty men. In other words, it's trusting in man instead of trusting in God.
Right.
Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's all familiar to us. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen? And we're looking at returning. Returning to the Lord. You know, one time, you know, in life, when we get off track, and we wonder why everything's getting so miserable, is because we got off track. We need to get back on track.
Yeah.
A train doesn't move very far off the track.
Right.
Amen? And if you want to do great things and you want to accomplish great things, it's best that you stay on the track. Hello? You hear me? You know, in Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, verse 30. Luke writes, he says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There was a time that he winked at it. But then, he gave us the Holy Ghost.
Yes, he did.
So we have no excuse because God is with us.
Yes.
And God ain't winking at it any longer.
Right.
God is commanding us to repent.
Yes.
He's not asking us to.
No.
Because it says it right here.
Yes.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to listen to the one that knows what's best. Hello? Are you with me?
Amen.
He's told the children of Israel, if they would return unto him, then he would restore. To restore. He would restore them. He would bring them back. Just remember now, in this text, Israel has been taken prisoner out of their land. Okay? They've been taken out of their land and held prisoners and captives. And that's what sin does to you and I. It takes us and it brings us into captivity. Okay? And what God is saying, he said, if you would come to your revelation and understanding and you would return to me and repent, then I will restore to you your freedom. I'll open the prison doors. I'll set the captive free. I'll deliver those one that's bound. Amen. That's what he is saying to you and I. So in the Psalms, the psalmist says in Psalms 51, verse number 10, says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen? Amen? So as we're looking at this, he wants to restore us, to bring us back. And with this thought, turn with me to Isaiah 57. That the Lord has compassion on the repentant. Amen. Verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the spirit and the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God wants to restore some things. And when I was looking at that, I was asking the Lord, I was speaking to the Lord, and he was reminding me of the children of Israel and how the children of Israel was in battle with the Philistines. And the Philistines was a mighty army, and Israel was small. They weren't a good match for the Philistines, because the Philistines was a mighty and a great army. But God raised up a servant. His name was Samuel.
Yep.
Amen. Samuel was a man that was following God. So look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're talking about restoring some things. Verse number 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth. And these were goddesses. They were worshiping goddesses from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. God's talking about bringing somebody out of captivity. Listen to me. Turn the page to verse number 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Every time I hear it thunder, every time I see lightning, I get a picture of what happened in that day of the armies of the Philistines that were coming against God's children. And God raised up a man of God to stand in the gap like Samuel. And as he spoke God's word and proclaimed God's word and declared God's word, all of a sudden there was lightning from the sky. There was thunder. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto have the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof, and Israel delivered out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now what the Lord says is this, listen to me. No matter what you're facing, no matter what it looks like, no matter how large it is or how great the adversary has made it, God is greater.
That's right.
God is greater. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forever. Not only did God defeat the Philistines with thunder and lightning, but he gave the Amorites a lesson. The Amorites saw what God did to the Philistines, and they weren't going to touch Israel. Hello? And what God wants you to know, how valuable you are to him. That you have great value. And no matter what the adversary has brought against you, God is greater. God is greater. God is greater. Amen. When I was looking at this, then the Lord took me to this other place. He said there was two sides. And our psalms, the one that had been delivered out of captivity and the one that hadn't came out of it yet. Okay? Yeah, you hear me? Amen? The Lord wants to speak to you. You've been waiting for a long time for something and you haven't witnessed it and you haven't seen it. God says you're not alone. Hello? Turn with me to Psalms 13 a moment. In Psalm 13, yes, ma'am, she's a grown-up. She'll get it. Or sometimes she acts like a grown-up. I'll put it like that. Just teasing. God's good. Listen to me. Sometimes, have you ever been asking for something for a long time and you haven't seen it yet? Yeah. Come on. Hello?
Come on.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Hello?
Yeah.
You know, you haven't seen it, okay? The psalmist was at that place. He was at a place where he felt like God deserted him.
Yep.
Hello? He's at that place where he seemed like my prayers are like, they're like hitting the ceiling. They're not getting outside of the room. Yeah. They're not reaching into heaven. Yeah, have you ever been there? Come on. Come on, we've all been there. Hello? Here's what the psalmist says, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But then he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I'm looking past where I'm at. I'm looking past where I'm at. Because if I don't look past where I'm at, I can't get out of it. If I can keep on looking down, I'll keep bumping into the same thing. I got to keep my eyes off of it and past it. I will sing of the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. Remember what the Lord said. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He didn't say he was going to deliver them all today.
Nope.
He didn't say he was going to deliver us tomorrow.
Nope.
He said that he would deliver us out of them all. And he says to us, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint and you don't give up. Amen. The psalmist says, okay, you haven't answered this. You haven't done this. But you have done a lot. You have done some great and mighty things. You have been there so many times before. And I know you were there before. I'll know you'll be there again. Hallelujah. That you'll show yourself big. That's why the psalmist would say in Psalms 30, verse number 10, he says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee. That my glory may sing praise to thee. And not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. You know, and you know, it's just like we got to constantly remind ourselves, church, that he says, in everything give thanks, for that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Amen. And no matter what you're facing, no matter what you've been looking for, no matter what it is, God is faithful. God is faithful. Don't lose heart and don't give up. Amen. You know, he says to you and I in Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, a minute. Jeremiah 30. Verse 15, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thy iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And all thy adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and a voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all them that oppress them. God says this: the battle does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He will do great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. He says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be founded in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen we you love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. Amen. So what is the Lord saying to you and I today in closing? He's saying this. Let's remember the words of Jesus. Turn me to John chapter 15. Verse number 20. It says, remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. See, as we honor the Father, then we can truly honor earthly fathers. As we honor the Father, we can truly honor one another. As we honor the Father in his word, all of a sudden things start to change. Things begin to transform. God is doing something. He's always moving. He's always accomplishing things. And he's saying to us in closing is, one, there's a call. He says, if you will return unto me with all of your heart, I will restore unto you what the adversary has stolen, and it will bring to you the rejoicing of your soul. He says, return, I'll restore, and you will rejoice. Bow your heads and let us pray. Hallelujah.